I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, this is where you will find your safe space for the independent thinkers out there beholden to no party, no politician. Just a principled show. This you will find is got to be the most consistent show because we don't twist our philosophy and our ideas around whatever the news is to fit somebody else's narrative. We just call it like we see it here in the show. So it is it's different certainly from that point of view. We got a bunch to get into today. Saw that Trump fired his campaign manager. Brad Pascal, is that his name? Parscale, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Apparently that guy is really big. I haven't ever really seen him, but every account I see of him, he's a very large human being. Anyway, we'll talk about the shakeup at the Trump campaign. I've also got some vaccine news. I've got a stock I'm going to narrate for you on air. I don't know what's going on with coronavirus. Well, we'll get into that in just a second. I will just ask before we get into things today, I'm still looking for a picture of Ghislaine Maxwell. I don't mean to repeat myself, but I'm pretty much going to do this every day on the show until we get something, some picture of post-arrest Ghislaine Maxwell. On the news break before I came on air, another one of the accusers. Now, look, I actually believe if there was any real hanky-panky. You would think that maybe some of the victims' attorneys would be screaming, but in this day and age of censorship online, you just never know who's saying what that we don't actually ever hear. But I'm just saying, Mike Madison at WYAB.com for the first picture that anybody has of Ghislaine Maxwell post-arrest. I reported yesterday at her bail hearing, we did get a painting of her. We got a painting of the Zoom call that Ghislaine was on, and the reporter, as I played yesterday, said it was a totally different Ghislaine. Now, he was referring to the fact that she had her hair pulled back in a ponytail and wasn't in, you know, a $5,000 outfit. But I don't know. When I heard it's a totally different Ghislaine, I started thinking maybe it's just a totally different Ghislaine. So anyway, anybody finds a picture for the anybody out there finds a picture of her post-arrest, I sure would like it. Just made me feel better. I got to tell you, it just made me feel a little bit better. We got some news yesterday on the spread of coronavirus that I thought was kind of interesting. Now, I know a lot of people who are really freaked out by the coronavirus itself and are really wanting us to go through great lengths to stop the spread and infection of this disease. When you see them on television, I notice pretty much one common denominator between everybody who is all for lockdowns and mandatory masks and the closing of schools. These people have what you call, how do you say it, a steady paycheck. They are all politicians who have not missed a check. They are health authorities who have not missed a check. Even some people that I know who were pretty hysterical about coronavirus and look at anybody who would break quarantine or try to open a shop or go to a concert as some existential threat to our entire way of life, even they are all drawing paychecks. They might be working at home. And for many of those people who have been working at home, their job actually got better in the face of this. But for everybody who is really freaked out about coronavirus, we got some news yesterday to help you fight it. And I think it's going to be very telling to see if people take this advice, because if you were of the mind that we need to shutter schools, we need to close restaurants, we need to close bars, we need to enact curfews, we need to have mandatory mask things. If we need to uproot our entire lives because coronavirus is such a threat to us, then I've got a new tool in the war against coronavirus for you to use. As the news came out yesterday, and we find out that air conditioning makes the spread worse. So that's it, people. All air conditioning, for those of you who believe that our first duty, above the right to assemble, above the right to commerce, above the right of our kids to go to school, if you believe the number one threat to our way of life and our whole existence is coronavirus, then I'll be very interested to see if you will immediately turn off your air conditioners. This seems like maybe at the Department of Health that has recommended mandatory masks and lockdowns and school shutterings and bar closings and have uprooted the lives of millions and millions of people around the country, but even millions of people in the state of Mississippi. I would like to think, if anybody works there and you're listening to me, please let me know, has the Department of Health turned off their air conditioning? I mean, because I think this is actually a bit of a teachable moment here. Now, of course, we know the answer to that. Even the most hysterical proponent of draconian measures to stem the spread of coronavirus, they will not forego air conditioning in their car, in their office, or in their home, will they? Now, a lot of you think, well, of course not. That's ridiculous. It's 105 degrees outside right now, Mike. That's not healthy either. Right. Every day we operate, we have a risk-reward estimation that we have to make. The moment we wake up, get out of bed, the moment we get into a car to go to work, the moment we choose a new job or turn a new job, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. You're constantly with risk and reward. And it's just a little, I think it's a little telling. If this air conditioning theory is correct, I would assume that everybody that is fine with a restaurant going out of business and going bankrupt, if they think this is so serious that they are willing to force 50 million people into unemployment, then certainly they are willing to give up just a couple of months of air conditioning here in Mississippi or around the country. I mean, to me, that's logical, right? If you make a pronouncement and you're willing to alter the lives of millions and millions of Americans, then you obviously think this is serious. There should be no cutoff for that. You should go to any length. The funny thing is, if you notice these things, as I said, most of the people that you hear talking about coronavirus and are willing to, they are calling for the shutdowns, they are all drawing paychecks. This has barely affected them at all, particularly in an economic way. And as a matter of fact, many of them have gotten more notoriety and more power and these kinds of things. But we'll just watch and see, because that headline jumped out at me and I thought, okay, well, let's see how serious. Let's see how serious people are about fighting this. I'm going to make a prediction here, too, as I watch this. I've got several things here. We're going to talk in just a second about some of the vaccine stuff, because it's almost funny. Almost. Not at all, but almost, if it can be both at the same time. I'm going to make a prediction. The year 2021, I want you to watch for this headline, Rise of the Superbugs. Next year, just watch for headlines that something like mysterious antibacterial infections rise. Life-threatening infections resistant to antibiotics plaguing hospitals and nursery schools or whatever. See, we are trying to hyper-sterilize our environment. And bacteria and viruses they've been around long before us, and they'll be here long after us as well. And they will adapt. I watched some of the stuff on school cleanings, the school schedules. I think it was Clinton that's going to do two sessions. You're either Team Clinton or Team Arrow, and you go to school for 2 days. Monday, Tuesday, and then they stop on Wednesdays and they clean the school, and then you go Thursday, Friday, and then they clean the school on the weekend. You know, and all of this cleaning stuff is so fascinating to me because it only takes one kid or one thing that comes in that school after the cleaning. On Monday morning, if something comes in there, you may be dealing with a situation where some kids get a cold or a fever. Doesn't matter how much cleaning you did on the weekend. It just takes one kid. I did the story yesterday. There was a ship out to sea for 35 days full of sailors who had self-quarantined for 14 days before, all tested negative before they got on the ship. They went out there, and after 35 days on the ship, most of them had tested positive for COVID. Brian called during the break. He's done time in the Coast Guard, and he made what is probably the right thing, the right call. He said they probably had some supplies or something delivered, and coronavirus got in there somehow. See, it doesn't matter how much you scrub. I'm just saying we're trying to live in this ultra-sterilized environment, and you're going to end up creating problems the same way that Roundup, the weed killer, has created super weeds in some of these fields. And these genetically modified crops are dealing with these super weeds that are resistant to Roundup and every other natural weed killer out there because they tried to just carpet bomb all weeds with an overarching killer. This is going to happen, so watch for that. But anyway, if you are freaked out about coronavirus, the whole point of that segment is immediately turn off your air conditioning. This will go for your car, your office, and your home. If you are a coronavirus warrior, we must do everything according to you to stem the tide of this thing. Air conditioners, they've got to go.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Scrolling through the headlines and particularly dealing with COVID stuff, I mean, I watch most of the news now and see the reporting on this thing pretty much with my jaw open. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me what we're doing here. At the same time, I'm a pretty nice human being. Like, if anybody meets me in the real world, I like to think, I don't know anybody's ever walked away from an exchange of me and said, oh, God, that guy's such a jerk. I mean, my whole life, I don't even know why. I think I probably am insecure. I seek acceptance or approval. I don't know. Maybe that my time in the service industry, I just saw such ugly side of people so many times. You know, my mom is the one that pushed me. She said, you've got to be a waiter at some point. I don't care what, but you need to learn what it's like to serve the public. She was right. I learned a lot. Maybe that's why it is. But it's difficult to be a nice guy because I don't want to be mean to anybody else, but the hysteria around this thing is sad and pathetic to me. And it's very hard to cover it on air. It's hard to interact with it. I don't really know where to go. I'm not one of these people who says, oh, this is all some big hoax. It's a disease, man. And it can be serious for some people. I'm accepting of all that stuff. It's just the lengths we're going to. But I don't, you know, if somebody is scared of something, it's not their fault they're scared. It's all of the authorities that have scared the crap out of everybody. It's the media that has scared the crap out of everybody. I can't fault somebody for being scared. I could try to make them feel better. The problem is I don't get to carry around all the clips I play on the show, and I've got more of them today. Some about masks that are fascinating. I don't get to carry these clips with me, so if I interact with anybody and have a conversation, I have to try to reference stories. You know, you say, well, did you hear the, you know, such and such health authorities in Illinois saying that they're classifying everybody who dies and tests positive of COVID as a COVID? I mean, you can say those things, but people don't really care. They can't listen to me reference a story for 20 seconds after they've been barraged for 3 months, 24 hours a day of we're all going to die headlines. I mean, you can't deprogram someone that fast. And so I have a very hard time trying to figure out where is my, you know, how do I feel about this? I think it's ridiculous. But I also understand some people and why they're scared. I'm not mad at you for being scared of coronavirus. I just implore you to ask yourself, are we not human beings who take risk every day? Can we not just go about our lives? Anyway, it's really pretty stunning stuff. I mean, the only reason I bring it up, I'm kind of scrolling through headlines during the break just then, and it's just nothing makes any sense. It's bizarre. Now, some things do make sense to me. Some things I do understand. Right on their face. The vaccine issue is one of those. I wanted to get to this story. This is a pretty easy one. I'll show you. You know, where there's a lot of people you don't really know their motives. Sometimes you know other human beings. It's kind of like voting for the two political parties. In my point, Democrats. Spoiler: you're not getting anything from the Democratic Party. The black community hasn't gotten anything from the Democratic Party or Barack Obama. I don't know what you conservatives think you're getting from the Republican Party. I mean, nobody's getting. So I have a hard time. I understand why a politician will say things cheering for one party or the other because they get power from it and money. I understand why operatives who get paid. I understand why media talking heads who get paid to do this. I just don't understand average people. Why they do some of the things they do, totally contrary to their own self-interest. And I watch it every day. But in just a second, I'm going to get to this vaccine stuff, because at least that I understand. And this just comes down to greed and corruption. Anyway, got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, this is Vince from Jackson.
Hey, Vince.
I was listening to you. You know, one of the things that is not talked about as much, we all, this country, Italy, other countries, were hit with COVID-19. They did the things that were totally necessary to stop and mitigate this serious virus.
Now, I'm sorry, I kind of cut out. Did you say they did the things that were necessary or they did unnecessary things?
Yeah, they did the things that were necessary. They shut the whole country down in Italy. They shut it down. It was a hardship. It was difficult. But they had some leaders who took the heat. And they did it. And as a result, their numbers are going down. We have no leadership here in America. I know you voted for Trump and all that, but let me tell you something. Trump had an opportunity back in January. He received all that information from the intelligence agency that works for the United States. He ignored them just like he ignored them when they were trying to tell him what Russia was doing. He didn't want to listen to a list of Putin. So now we got millions of people that's been infected. He's out to lunch. He don't talk about it because he's so interested in re-election.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
The failure on his part is killing this country.
All right, let me ask you this. Vince, give me a second here. Let me ask you this. If you've listened to the show with any regularity, you know I'm agnostic on any politician. If Trump does something I like, then I'll say I like it. If he does something I don't care. I have no allegiance to Donald Trump. But let me ask you this. The apparatus, the health apparatus, because here's my problem, is that I am ready to criticize Donald Trump at the drop of a hat. As a matter of fact, I've got some things in today's shows that Trump supporters probably won't like that I cover them. But we have a health apparatus in this country. The CDC gets $10 billion a year. The National Institute of Health gets $40 billion a year. All of the states have their own health departments, and this idea of an infectious disease has been around for forever. With all of that money and all of these bureaucrats, you're talking about tens of thousands of professionals whose entire job is to mitigate a pandemic or some outbreak of an infectious disease. Why does it fall on one single human being who was a real estate developer at best? He becomes president. He certainly gave Anthony Fauci free rein for quite a while. Now, you can say he ignored it, but again, the CDC operates each and every day without ever hearing from Donald Trump. They're supposed to be at a $10 billion a year budget. They're supposed to be an autonomous group that does nothing but try to protect the health and safety of the American people. Why is it on Donald Trump that nothing was done? And we ignore the tens of billions of dollars and the tens of thousands of healthcare professionals whose whole job is to address things like this. Why does it all fall down on him?
Well, one simple statement, the buck stops here. All the information flowing around, it's up to him to decide what direction to lead this country.
Well,
Donald Trump, he made the decision early on, we need to curtail certain things, we need to shut the country down. He made that decision nationally. And when all of a sudden, he even started looking at re-election, oh, we need to open the country back up. Well, big mistake. Big mistake. We hadn't even got the numbers down, and all he was concerned about was having a doggone rally somewhere, and everybody that went to Tulsa rally got doggone COVID-19. I mean, this is an idiot in the White House.
Well, I got to – do you really
Trump
think
– makes the decisions. The buck stops with him. And Donald Trump has totally failed. He has failed this country, and he's talked about the economy where the economy has just tanked on us. And all why? Because we can't operate with people out here.
Do you think that COVID is, are you familiar with the pandemics in 19, I think it was 1959 and 1968, 69? Do you know there was a pandemic here during those times, pretty much from, I think, 1958 or 1959 all the way through 1969? Are you familiar with those pandemics?
No, I don't have no history on none of that. No.
Yeah, well, it's just interesting, and here's the reason I bring it up. During that time, particularly in the late 1950s, I want to say it's 1958, there was a pandemic sweeping this country. It was discussed a little bit. It killed, I believe, in 58 or 59, somewhere around 120,000 people and was very dangerous to pregnant women. This thing actually persisted through different mutations, what they say, for about 10 years and then peaked in the years of 1968-69, where it killed roughly about the same number of people, I think, that have died so far right now of coronavirus in that year. That same year in 1969, they held Woodstock. They did all these kinds of things. The reason I bring this up is because this disease is dangerous to some people, particularly vulnerable people, is why I do a lot about boosting your immune system and getting your underlying health conditions set up. This disease, to me, is not an existential threat to the United States. We have lived through something very similar in those years that I just mentioned, and I'd encourage you to take a look at it. Matter of fact, if you email me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com, I'll shoot you back some articles on it that I just think are interesting. I just think there's a parallel to be drawn. My point being, we can't shut this country down. 50 million people have had their financial lives destroyed on something that we have lived through in recent history. And that's the problem that people like I have with altering everything in this this fear of anybody catching a disease that is not killing a lot of people. Some unfortunate cases? Absolutely. Some tragic stories? Absolutely. Just like tragic car accidents, just like tragic cancer diagnosis, just like tragic murders. But to upend your whole system based on what's going on right now does not seem to make any logical sense to me.
Mike, you know, one of the things that we've learned over the last few months, that we haven't learned anything else, we got researchers doing what they do. But one of the things that we've learned is that wearing a mask will help to mitigate, or it's not going to stop it, but will cut down on your exposure because just having a mask on. Until we finally get some of the other things worked out at the business that I operate, we wear a mask. Customers come in, they wear a mask. And the thing about it, that's one of the things we're learning how to function in this society with wearing a mask. You can go to any store with a mask on. We know that works. That's the one thing that it's not even a cost associated with it, but it helps. Until we finally get the medical part worked out, we can still go shopping. We can still do that. Wear a mask. We know that actually helps the situation. So we're learning what works. We don't have to shut everything down.
Right.
Wear a mask to keep it open. That's one of the things that we've learned. We didn't know nothing back when it first hit. That's why everything had to be shut down. But they now are open with wearing a mask. And that's one of the differences. I go to church. We all have a mask on at church.
Right, but and I think you're right. I mean, I'm all for a learning curve, but the thing is that life is just full of risks. I mean, you just cannot, and I think to your point, if people believe a mask works, and I'm going to play, I hope you stay tuned, because I've got some clips in just a second about mask wearing, because there's a lot of contradiction on even mask, and that's what makes it so confusing to us. But the bottom line is, you're right, something new comes. Every disease is a little bit different. Now, I will say, the CDC and the NIH, they're supposed to be on top of whatever comes. I mean, they're supposed to figure this stuff out, and this has been a catastrophe. And I don't lay that at Donald Trump. Is Donald Trump the best leader in this time? I think absolutely not. But the CDC is where the buck stops. That's their whole job. But anyway, I don't want to digress.
Well, Donald Trump is the one that stood on national television promoting a cure. Somebody taking himself, colloquially, and however way you pronounce it, trying to encourage people to use that, find out it debilitates the heart, causes a rapid heartbeat. And it was proven to be just a bogus lie.
I don't think that's true.
He decided to be the expert.
No, I don't. I think you're, Vince, I think you may be, I think you're wrong on that. I think,
and everything he has said, it's a hoax. It is going to blow away. We only got 15 cases. He's been wrong on every count. So, yes, I blame Donald Trump. If we'd have had somebody who was listening to the scientists, like they did in Italy, we would not be where we are now. We got somebody who would not listen. His ego is beyond belief. I mean, his mindset is totally bogus. I mean, he don't listen to anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the only person that knows anything. I'm a brilliant person. Find out somebody else took his SAT test. So, I mean, there's a lot of... We shouldn't be in this hole that we're in right now.
Well, to me personally, I don't lay that at Donald Trump. I think we are creating the hole that we're in right now. But anyway, Vince, I appreciate the call. I got to go to a break. But I don't disagree with you on everything you say. Some things we might disagree on, but thanks for the call. The one thing is you're not going to get out of me is a defense of Donald Trump's pontifications about this thing. He lays so many traps for him. He just feels the need to say so many things. And he said so many things at the beginning of this crisis. He did say it was 15 and it's going down to zero. He has said other things. Now, on hydroxychloroquine, I think he's been fairly well vindicated other than the fact that the media will not cover it. Now, look, I think vitamin D is good. I think there are hospitals I've reported on that are doing vitamin C treatments. So hydroxychloroquine would not be my first attack. I would try to attack it naturally because hydroxychloroquine does have some side effects. But judging by the fact that the death numbers have been going through the floor, while the case numbers have been going up, the death numbers have been going down, it shows something's working, and it's not remdesivir. So I think that hydroxychloroquine is probably pretty widely used. Anyway, unfortunate for Trump, I believe he has mishandled this. I can kind of understand why Vince feels some of the way he feels, and then the rest of it is just pure hatred for Donald Trump. Anyway, I'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit. I want to show you, like I say, I want to show you this vaccine stuff. And to Vince's point, I'm going to do it. I've got a couple of clips about masks that are pretty fascinating because they are completely contradictory within the health community themselves. Stay with me. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Caller during the break made a point that I should have made. As a libertarian, how could I have not dropped the ball like this? But, you know what I would say to Vince or to anybody else who's frustrated with, you know, Trump's reaction to this, the guy's a realist. This is my frustration with Donald Trump. You know what Donald Trump should have done when this disease came around? He should have said, look, I'm a real estate developer. We have got professionals that we give $50 billion a year to handle this thing. Here are the scientific experts. Now, look, I don't want Fauci in charge of this thing the way he has been. That could have, you know, Trump would have had to kind of moderate what or give an alternate view of economic impacts of this thing to Fauci. But the bottom line is he could have kind of sidestepped this issue, not to duck responsibility, but to admit to the fact, hey, my job as president of the United States, I'm like the CEO. I need to bring in people who know infectious diseases. And this needs to be handled at a state-by-state level. Diseases didn't go all over China. It happened in a couple of pockets of China. The states are going to need to handle this. He could have just told the people, look, here are the people who are in charge of these kinds of things. And what would have happened is a bungled response would have been on the CDC, as it should be. On Andrew Cuomo in New York, who sent COVID patients back into nursing homes. That should be on him. Trump needs the spotlight too bad. He should have just stepped back and said, look, we're watching this. And he could have said the federal government stands ready to help any state that needs to combat this. Everybody needs to pay attention to this. It's a serious thing. But he didn't. He said, I've got the ventilators. I'm going to get them everywhere they need to be. He made it look like he was the general in charge of the whole thing. So when things don't look good, then he's the one that has to accept responsibility. And to me, it was such a great thing to show leadership and cooperation with. And it's so on so many issues. If he would just say to the crime in the streets in some of these cities, look, you people in Chicago, you might want to look at some new leadership. It's not the federal government's job to come in and police your streets. That's your police department and your mayor's office and your city government's office. They're not keeping you safe. I really hate that for you, but you guys need to discuss a change. Instead, he says, I'm ready to send the military in there and get a handle on that. It seems to me he's just trying to accept too much, I don't know if it's not necessarily power. It's just that he wants to make everybody think he's in control of everything. And if he had control of everything, everything would be great. Well, it just doesn't work that way. Certainly, it's not constitutional either. But the point the caller made that I would say to Vince and to anybody else is, see what happens when you think the government's going to take care of you? You see what happens when everybody just sits back and just stares at their TVs waiting for some government bureaucrat to tell you what to do and how to save us all? This is what government does. It screws things up. There is not a president that has ever existed, or probably a man, woman in history of the world that could have stepped up and somehow micromanaged the COVID virus into some level of non-existence. I mean, you know what I mean? There was not going to be a good outcome. The government screws up. They can't handle education. They've been trying it for 40 years. They've got enough practice. They still can't get education delivered. The government is not your friend. If the government wants to employ some authorities like a CDC type thing that has researchers that can come out and inform Americans, I'll be honest with you, private groups could do that better. AMA could do it better. But if you really want some mommy or daddy in Washington, D.C. to educate people about things and give them the, hey, here's the what's what on coronavirus. Here's some things we think you might want to do to protect yourself. And then everybody does their own thing. At the city level, at the county level, at the state level. More importantly, at the individual level. And I just, it drives me, this idea that this was just so badly bungled by Donald Trump, I've got lots of criticisms for Donald Trump. I'm not going to blame a real estate developer for not containing a coronavirus. Yes, he said some dumb things about it. He absolutely did. But this is just typical government. They were wrong to shut everything down. They're just wrong, constantly wrong. And here, I guess I'll go ahead and play these right now just to show you. I mean, you can't even trust the scientific community anymore. This is the thing that's really frustrating to me about this. It's like everything else, foreign policy, politics, everything. Everybody wants a good guy and a bad guy. Fauci good, Donald Trump bad. America good, Russia bad. It's just like there just aren't many good guys going around there. This is why individuals need to take control of their own lives and get these bureaucrats and politicians out of our lives. Here is the WHO, okay? This is the World Health Organization. This woman's name is Vanderhoven. I believe she's Dutch. A very short clip here. I want you to listen to her, what she says about masks for asymptomatic people. Now, this is, right now, we're in a mandatory mask thing. I don't know. If there's anybody out there that doesn't already know it, if you don't feel good, stay home. Don't be around a bunch of people. I mean, we already instinctively do that in the normal flu, don't we? If one of your family members gets the flu, you put them in the bedroom, you make them comfortable, you get them some streaming service to the bedroom, and you say, hey, come out when you feel better. You try to protect the kids. I mean, this is intuitive. We know this. But the idea of asymptomatic, the mask mandates are everybody's a carrier. Don't, you know, everybody you see in the grocery stores, you know, is a threat to your life. Bug your eyes out at them when they get too close to you. Everybody's freaked out about every other stranger out there. Here's what the WHO, this is the World Health Organization, said about masks and people with no symptoms.
From the data we have, it still seems to be rare that an asymptomatic person actually transmits onward to a secondary individual.
I'm going to play it again. It's so short and so juicy. This is the WHO.
From the data we have, it still seems to be rare that an asymptomatic person actually transmits onward to a secondary individual.
It is rare that an asymptomatic person spreads to COVID to a secondary person. Rare. Now, that doesn't really line up with mandatory mask wearing for everybody. But anyway, here's CNN. Now, again, you know, that's the WHO. Now, I don't give them a ton of credibility or anything, but they seem to be running the show, right? We're all supposed to listen to the WHO. We're all supposed to listen to the CDC. We're supposed to listen to the NIH. We're supposed to listen to all these people. So the WHO puts out a statement like that. Here's what CNN says about asymptomatic spread.
And new research indicates asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic COVID-19 cases are a primary driver of the virus spreading.
Science. So the WHO says it's rare that an asymptomatic person will spread this to a secondary person. But the experts that were on the next day, or I mean, I don't know how far apart these two things were. But this is what you get when you let bureaucracies and governments and the nutstream media run stuff again. Let's play this again. I'm going to play these back to back real quick so we really get the full context here.
From the data we have, it still seems to be rare that an asymptomatic person actually transmits onward to a secondary individual.
And CNN.
And new research indicates asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic COVID-19 cases are a primary driver of the virus spreading.
They don't even say it's possible. They don't even say it contributes. They say it's the primary. So you got one health authority saying that it is rare that it ever happens, and then you've got CNN saying it's the main culprit.
Scientists have found that silent transmission could be responsible for half of COVID-19 cases. The study found more than one-third of these infections would need to be identified and isolated to suppress a future outbreak. The model assumed COVID-19 may be most contagious during the pre-symptomatic stage.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, people. I don't know what to tell you. We're supposed to parse out information from this stuff and let our lives be completely dictated by, you know, this. You got two scientists right there saying completely contradictory things right next to each other. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
right into this world all alone. God takes your soul.
I got to tell you, I'm rarely ever kind of at a loss for words or, how to broach a subject. And I'm going to get into back into kind of my wheelhouse in a second to show you some what I think is just massive corruption going on around coronavirus. But it's just difficult. Like my son's more worried about being exposed to people with coronavirus than I am. But it's not for himself. He's around somebody a lot that he cares about who has got some compromised immune issues. So he's more careful. He's not mad at me that I'm not worried about it. He doesn't preach to me. He's made an individual decision that it would make the person that he is around that's immunocompromised more comfortable to know that he has not been out in large crowds. And they probably have a legitimate reason to be concerned. So he's respecting what they want. They have a legitimate fear. And so he alters his behavior. I don't have that problem. I'm not around somebody who's immunocompromised, so I'm not worried about it. You see how everybody can make individual choices all by themselves? You don't need a politician or a bureaucrat to come out and tell everybody what they need to do. And speaking of telling everybody what to do, here's a creepy thing from the WHO again. This is the Tedros guy who's running the WHO. He sees the virus as not the problem. Well, I'll let him tell you what the real problem is.
Make no mistake, the greatest threat we face now is not the virus itself. Rather, it's the lack of leadership and solidarity at the global and national levels.
Global.
That's why I said earlier, each and every individual should reflect. And we cannot defeat this pandemic as a divided world. The COVID-19 pandemic is a test of global solidarity and global leadership. The virus thrives on division, but is thwarted when we unite.
The virus thrives on division. What Tedros is saying from the WHO, if we just had, I don't know, a one world government where everybody did what they were told, we could defeat this virus. I'm going to play this one more time, because when you realize the global intention of this thing, it gets very creepy, particularly the first part.
Make no mistake. The greatest threat we face now is not the virus itself. Rather, it's the lack of leadership and solidarity at the global and national levels. That's why I said earlier, each and every individual should reflect. And we cannot defeat this pandemic as a divided world. The COVID-19 pandemic is a test of global solidarity and global leadership.
Globalism. That's the solution to COVID. Oh, my God.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Talked last hour about, COVID. I don't know. I'm almost talking in circles, and I'm kind of aware of that. It's just, this is a hard thing to do. I'm not in the camp where this is a giant hoax and everybody who's got a mask on is stupid. I don't believe that. I think that's an extreme. I'm also not of somebody who doesn't have mask on is stupid, and this is going to kill us all if you don't get serious about it. I'm not in that camp either, so I've got to find myself in the middle just going, can we just leave us alone? If a barbershop wants to cut somebody's hair and somebody wants their hair cut, just let it happen. Let it happen naturally. Anyway, I'm going to get into something that I do understand, and people who people who are watching this unfold need to at least have this in the back of their mind somewhere to understand that whether or not COVID is as serious as some people might believe or not, boy, the corruption that comes out of this stuff is always stunning. And the vaccine issue is something I'm going to continue to pay attention to. Number one, because of my bent towards natural health and my amazement that no health authority will tell you anything about eating good food and having a properly functioning immune system as a way to combat COVID. It's not even mentioned, which is just a real tragedy. There are people who have died because they just weren't ever told over their entire lives. Hey, you know that garbage you're shoveling into your pie hole? It's making you pretty susceptible to some diseases. It's not even mentioned. Now, I guess if you're trying to run a medical system that makes money by patients getting sick and coming to see you, I guess that's a profitable model, but we're trying to pretend now that we care about everybody not dying and not getting sick. If you really don't want people to die and don't get sick, then educate them on how to improve their health on a daily basis without the need for a pharmaceutical. But oh no, it's all about the vaccine now. So there's, you know, constant headlines out, and it seems like every morning that the stock market is selling off, even just a little bit, if it's down just a couple of hundred points, suddenly at about 6:30 in the morning, a headline comes out of promising new vaccine trial. And that boosts the stock market. And then 4 or 5 days later, we find out, oh, it really wasn't that big of a deal. It's what I refer to now as the coronavirus pump and dump. And it's been done over and over and over again. I'm going to name some of your players here. Most recently, again, it was Moderna. Moderna, just in the last few days, released another press, really encouraged by this stuff. And then in the days following, news like this comes out. A highly anticipated clinical trial for potential COVID-19 vaccine managed in part by the American drug company Moderna has resulted in some adverse effects in more than half of the trial's participants, with one test group reporting severe symptoms. It gets into the dosage here. The vaccine induced an anti-SARS-CoV-2 immune response in all participants, the research team reported Tuesday. Researchers said that no trial-limiting safety concern were identified, yet a majority of the participants still reported at least one side effect. Solicited adverse events that occurred in more than half of the participants included fatigue, chills, headache, myalgia, and pain in the injection site. Fever, joint pain, and nausea were also reported. Some effects grew more common with more and larger injections, the scientists wrote. Systemic adverse events were more common after the second vaccination. Good Lord, how many? I'm preparing myself for this idea that essentially we all need to show up every 3 months to get some kind of a shot for these things. They've got stories coming out now that show the antibodies aren't lasting long. But I'm going to tell you why none of this matters in just a second. Systemic adverse events were more common after the second vaccination, particularly with the higher doses. And three participants, 21%, in the dose group reported one or more severe adverse events. So they've got problems with these things. Again, look, if you're testing something, this is why supposedly you if I trusted the vaccine companies, I'd kind of give them a pass and go, look, this is why you test. You identify these severe things, you tweak it, you make it safer and safer. It's just that they've got blanket immunity. What do they care how safe it is? You can't sue them. The government's given them complete absolution on any liability on any vaccine. So, you know, whether it's safe or not, that's really not an issue. But what I'm beginning to believe is what else is not even really an issue is for a company to make a ton of money surrounding coronavirus, I don't even know if they care that they actually get the vaccine. A couple of reasons for that. One is our federal government, and remember, this is taxpayer dollars. So let me put it that way. Saying that the government spends money on something is a tad bit misleading. So I should always phrase it as the American taxpayer has shoveled billions of dollars to drug companies already. Without any kind of a proven product or anything, the American taxpayer has opened up their wallets and shoveled billions of dollars to vaccine makers to even start trying to develop a vaccine. Now, in the course of normal business, of course, vaccine companies or drug companies have to fund their own research, right? They're going to make a ton of money off the product that they get. You would think that maybe they would have some skin in the game and have to fund their own research and see if the drug actually works to bring it to market, to sell it and make billions of dollars. Not in the case of coronavirus. The U.S. taxpayer is ponying up for just even the research to figure out if they even can. Now, the other side of that is not only are these companies getting billions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer dollars to do a vaccine, they really don't even have to come up with the vaccine. And the reason I say that is if you want to look at, let's look at the all-time stock price of Moderna stock. And I'm looking at it, and it looks like when I click all on my chart here, it looks like they came around. Their first ticker sign is at December 2nd of 2018. And apparently it went public at $18.60. This is all the charts showing me. I don't know if this was their IPO, if they're really that young of a company. But bottom line is, in December of 2018, their stock price was $18.60. Let's see, about a year later, let me get to the chart here. About a year later, the stock price was $20. It had gone from $18 to $20. What is that, one-ninth? So it made about 11% over the course of the year, and it went up and down. It was as high as 27 at one point in May, in April of 2019. My point being, the stock essentially went nowhere from what is showing me their first ticker all the way up until anyone? February of this year. And starting in February of this year, Moderna stock was trading at $18.23. Okay? That's February 16th. $18.23. What did we say it went public at? $18.60. It actually was down. It was down come February of this year. What is it now? What is it now? $81.72. It's had a quadrupling. So all you really needed to do, if you're a Moderna executive or somebody in Wall Street, I mean, just think about this in its context for just a second. Here's the thing. Set up a company. Say you do vaccines or pharmaceuticals. I don't even really know what all the portfolio of Moderna is. And then when something like this hits, you just sit back and wait for the government to shovel a bunch of money at you for a vaccine. Say you're in the vaccine game, get the U.S. taxpayer funds, and then constantly just put out little headlines about how promising everything you got looks. And within the course of just a few months, you can quadruple your stock price. Do you know how this has rewarded the insiders at Moderna? The board of directors, the CEO, the major shareholders? They've quadrupled their money. They don't have a vaccine yet. They have no product to present to the American people to save or mitigate this disease with one single human being, yet their stock price has quadrupled after going nowhere since it came public. Now, this I understand. And if you happen to be one of the insiders in this thing, and you know when the press release is coming out about promising new developments, and by insider, I mean, God knows how many people this stuff leaks out to. How many buddies get the phone call? Hey, we're making an announcement tomorrow. Trials are looking good. Okay, thanks. Click. You get in my Robinhood account and trade the stock. There's no telling how many people have made money on this. Now, while we're at that, we'll find this other story. It doesn't look like I'm supposed to. Should have put these two things together. It was about, I can't believe I don't have this story here. I'm gonna find it. They've decided that Moderna has one contact too, to very high up. Our vaccine czar. Yeah, our vaccine czar. What's the guy's name? Slowey, I think it is. He was rolled out on the scene about a month and a half ago. I don't know. Time's getting kind of warped to me. Living in this Groundhog Day that we find ourselves in. Slowey came on to become our vaccine czar. Trump announced him, I think, in the Rose Garden. He did it. He was so magnanimous in doing it. He only took $1 a year in salary because he just loves America and cares for humanity. So he's only taking $1 a year in compensation. Well, we found out after his announcement within a few days, the Monday following his announcement as the vaccines are, the Monday, he had a set of stock options that he refused to divest himself of a few days earlier when he was announced as vaccine czar. Then on the Monday after he was announced, Moderna stock, which he had a sizable share of stock options in, he got something between about $2 to $3 million that Monday. And then he decided, okay, I'll go ahead and sell now. After he had made the $2 or $3 million on a Moderna announcement. Now, one of the ethics boards, air quotes here in the studio around ethics, one of the air quotes here in the studio watchdog groups in Washington, D.C., has just said that Anthony Slowey's, he doesn't have to divest himself of anything, and he doesn't have to give any financial disclosures, even though he's our vaccine czar, and he will be picking winners and losers. He will be releasing information about all of these different pharmaceutical companies when they have a promising vaccine. And he is not subject to any of the disclosures that other people that might take positions like his because of that $1 a year, apparently. His compensation is not high enough to put him in a, I can't remember the technical term, it's some kind of advisor, you know, government contracted advisor or something along those lines. So he doesn't have to disclose what he's got. This Slowey guy is poised to make. Now, I guess I stopped myself from saying he's going to make, although that's really in my heart what I believe will happen. But he is certainly poised to make millions and millions and millions of dollars on this race for a vaccine. Imagine you're the vaccine czar and you don't have to disclose any of your stock trades or any of your portfolio. And you get a report in that Moderna's doing well. So you load up on a little bit of Moderna and then you take off and you make an announcement. Moderna's trial looks promising. You get the pop, you sell that stock. Then you find out that AstraZeneca's working on something. They've got promising results from AstraZeneca. So if you're the vaccine czar who's not subject to any oversight whatsoever, you just make sure you buy yourself a little AstraZeneca and then you release the statement. AstraZeneca has got a promising new therapy or vaccine for the coronavirus. Now, you got to stay on top of it because usually after these promising announcements where the stocks pop, 2 or 3 days later, they come out and go, oh, well, actually, a bunch of people got sick or this was a very small group or it didn't quite work out the way we thought it was. See, these promising results are always done basically in the form of a press release from the company. So if you're somebody like, I mean, just theoretically, like a vaccine czar who's in charge of this information, you buy the stock, you release the encouraging news, the stock pops, you know, 5, 10, 15%, then you need to sell before the real news comes out 2 or 3 days later when people have had a chance to review the press release and say, that's not really that good because the stock will come back down. Lather, rinse, repeat. Now that I can understand around coronavirus. The hysteria, the shutdowns, the reason that a barber cannot cut a guy's hair for 3 months in this country. I don't understand that. I understand this. It's called corruption. And it is happening right around us. And I would imagine that during the course of today or possibly this week, this show will be the only place you hear anything about any of this. But I assure you, it is going on. Corruption, greed, crony capitalism, federal government using its power to pick winners and losers and profit from it, that I understand because I've been watching it for decades. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Here's the story that I was referring to. I'm sorry I couldn't find it last time. This is about our vaccine czar. Now, people are going to get mad at me because this is Trump's vaccine czar. But look, Trump doesn't know these people. Somebody, probably Fauci, who also has got extensive financial ties to the pharmaceutical industry. Probably this may be one of Fauci's buddies. But Trump stood next to him at the Rose Garden and enthusiastically brought this guy on. It's our vaccine czar. Here's a story in the Times Union. The co-director of President Donald Trump's Operation Warp Speed can maintain extensive investments in the drug industry and avoid ethics disclosures while he continues to make decisions about government contracts for promising coronavirus vaccines under a decision this week by the Health and Human Services Inspector General. Now, why do I think that's important? Well, because Health and Human Services is currently run by anyone, anyone, a pharmaceutical executive. Alex Azar, a lifelong pharmaceutical executive, most recently from Eli Lilly. Alex Azar runs our Health and Human Services. The idea that the swamp is drained is absurd. Anyway, so the Health and Human Services Inspector General, you know, one of these watchdog groups, has said, oh, it's fine. This guy can invest in companies while he runs. I'm sure there's no conflict of interest there. Monday's ruling by the Office of Inspector General came in response to a complaint filed by the advocacy groups Public Citizen and Lower Drug Prices Now. The group said that the Trump administration had carved out an improper exception to federal conflict of interest rules for Moncef Slaoui, a venture capital executive and former high-ranking official at the drug giant GlaxoSmithKline. Slaoui took the helm of Operation Warp Speed in mid-May as what the administration has described as a volunteer contractor accepting just $1 for his services. Oh, what a patriot. What a humanitarian. He just wants to help people, I bet. I mean, who else would leave a lucrative career as a venture capitalist in pharmaceutical companies to make only $1? Oh, the sacrifices he must be making financially, right? That designation, this $1 voluntary contractor, that designation has allowed him to avoid the requirement for government employees to disclose financial interest and divest in holdings that conflict with their responsibilities. Boy. You know what's funny is at least this guy is almost ridiculously transparent about it. You know, I've asked this question again and again. Why did Mark Esper, who was our current defense secretary, why did he leave a job with Raytheon where he was making millions of dollars a year to run the Defense Department for probably what is around $200,000 a year? Now, if you listen to this show or you can think for yourself, you're one of these independent thinkers that just happen to be listening to the show, you know why, right? Because his job is to feed the defense industry. And since Mark Esper has been defense secretary, billions and billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars of contracts have been handed out to his former industry, an industry that he will return to after he has played the bagman at the Defense Department. Why would Alex Azar, who was making millions of dollars as an executive for Eli Lilly, leave that position to go to Health and Human Services, where he's probably making somewhere around $160,000 a year? Well, we know why, right? so that he can feed the pharmaceutical company contracts from federal and make sure that good laws and good procedures are put into Health and Human Services to benefit his former employer and future employer. It's called the revolving door. At least this Slowey isn't pretending to take a measly little salary. I mean, to these guys, you know, $160,000 a year, $200,000 a year for these cabinet positions, that is just nothing to them. It's like a dollar. And it's just really funny to me that the revolving door is not a bigger deal with the public. I know why it's not a big deal in Washington, D.C., because it works out great for all of the biggest industries in the country and in the world. They're globalist companies. You understand that, right? Eli Lilly is a global corporation. That's not an America first little mom and pop to, you know, pharmacy. These guys are globalists. And they are working this system. And they are just going to wring every last little penny out of it. Speaking of getting every little penny out of the system, yesterday I did my show on income taxes. I'm not a big fan. Totally opposed to the individual income tax in the United States of America. I think it is absolutely abhorrent to a free society that a large, massive federal government lays claim to any portion of your income and then just lets you know each year how much you can keep. But I'm going to give you, when we come back, a little bit of where your taxpayer cash is going. You might want to take some Tums before I do this. Actually, I should be consistent. Apple cider vinegar. Tums is not doing you any favors. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I'll be interested to hear what you think about this next story. Yesterday, I did my, you know, our benevolent leadership gave us a few extra months to pay our VIG to the IRS, and yesterday was the day, so I did my kind of annual rant against the individual income tax. That's not even really an annual rant, is it? It's probably about once a week. Maybe once every 3 days, I try to appeal to people's better common sense that it doesn't make any sense, particularly now when we found they could just print the money. Why they needed to deprive you of thousands of dollars a year when they can just print it up? We've seen the evidence of it. I mean, they've shown no hesitation to print money. But anyway, what didn't make a convincing case over the last couple of years, particularly on tax day or yesterday, if I didn't make a convincing case to you what just an absurdity, what a crime it is that we are all stripped of our wealth every 2 weeks, once a month, however often you get paid, you look at that check and you see, huh, I thought I earned $4,000 this month, but apparently I only earned $3,200 this month. You know, that's kind of how it goes, right? You budget off that $3,200. Most people don't even look at the lines of deductions anymore, do you? You just know what, if you're on salary, you know what to expect, and you go home and you say, honey, here's my check for $3,200, and they go, okay, that's great. We'll make our budget, we'll pay for our stuff. And you just, that $800 that just, woohoo, just disappears. You don't even think about it anymore. Boiling frog syndrome. So let's talk a little bit about where it goes. If I haven't convinced people to regain the idea of you being a free human being who gets to trade your labor for dollars and gets to keep those dollars. If I'm not convincing on that, I'll just tell you, let's just take a look at some of how taxpayer dollars are spent. I did see the headline yesterday. It appears that banks will make about $18 billion processing the CARES Act. That's good news for the banks. There was one bank in here made more processing the loans just over the last couple of months, the PPP loans, than they made in all of their revenue last year. It's around $162 million. It was a small bank. J.P. Morgan Chase could make around $864 million processing payroll protection program checks. BlackRock, the bank, you'll be paying them to administer a lot of the bailout funds as well. They have actually been given keys to the kingdom when it comes to the bailouts. BlackRock, one of the biggest asset managers in the world, if not the biggest asset manager in the world, is now working hand in hand with U.S. taxpayer-funded Treasury Department to administer billions and billions of dollars of loans and bonds and just all kinds of stuff. They've been given keys to the kingdom. God, it's got to be great to be Larry Fink. It's funny to me. I've talked about this before. You know the name Nancy Pelosi. You know Adam Schiff. You know Hillary Clinton. You know all the players that Breitbart tells you about. They won't tell you about Larry over at BlackRock, Larry Fink. Yet he's one of the biggest power players in the country. But he's one of the behind-the-scenes guys, the guys that really make out. But anyway, I digress. $18 billion to the bank, taxpayer-funded, to process PPP. This was an article that was in Forbes that makes some pretty interesting things. I think you might be interested in this. Again, if I didn't convince you that you're a free human being and you deserve the fruits of your labor, maybe this will wake you up a tiny bit when you realize where the fruits that you don't get to keep get to go. Membership in the U.S. Congress is an exclusive club that comes with lucrative, taxpayer-funded privileges. Retirement perks include a lifetime pension and a taxpayer-matched savings plan with taxpayer-paid contributions up to 5% of salary. As the longest-serving member of Congress, Senator Patrick Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, would qualify for a yearly pension of $167,040. That's a taxpayer-funded pension if he retired today. How about this one? I don't know a lot of people who are crossover fans that like Donald Trump and Paul Ryan, so let's take a look at Paul Ryan. Now, this is going to dispel one myth that's out there that, look, I like to get outraged at Congress critters as much as anybody. If you listen to the show, you know that about me. But I don't try to exaggerate things, and I don't use talking points. There's an idea out there that if you serve just one term in the House of Representatives, you get to leave getting that salary for the rest of your life. It's a great, outrageous talking point. It's just not true. This is Paul Ryan's package. Former Speaker Paul Ryan, Republican from Wisconsin, was eligible to draw $84,930 in annual taxpayer-funded pension when he turned 50 in January after serving for 20 years and retiring at age 48. So there you go. Paul Ryan will be on the taxpayer dole for $84,000, about $85,000 a year in pension plans. I'm sure there may be some health benefits. I'm not sure. It's a bit of a, it's almost like a vesting schedule, I guess. You get a certain amount per year served, so they don't get their full salary for the rest of their lives. When I first heard that, I kind of assumed it was true just because politicians are such dirty scumbags that it sounds like something they would do, but it's not quite that bad. It's still bad. The story goes on. Critics question the necessity of such a system. Why are U.S. taxpayers providing public pensions to millionaire members of Congress on top of their 401k-style plan? The median net worth of a member recently exceeded $1.1 million. Now, here's where it is. Get ready. I hope you didn't just eat. Auditors that opened the books broke down benefits received by leaders from both parties, Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, her net worth is estimated somewhere between $50 million and $72 million. See, this is, I talked about this the other day. They do these range things. You know, the disclosures from these creatures is always, oh, I've got somewhere between $1 and $16 million. we can't, that's kind of a big discrepancy. You know, Some people can actually save $1 million. Not a lot of people can save $15 million. We'd kind of like to know where that $15 million came from if you've got $15 million and you've been serving in Congress your whole life. But they give you these ranges instead. Anyway, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, net worth estimated between $50 and $72 million. She'll reap $153,967 a year in public pension and Social Security benefits at retirement. In addition, get ready for this one. In addition, Pelosi could cash out an estimated $1 million lump sum through her federal saving account, and that's just the portion of the account that was taxpayer funded. Now, wait a second. I can't hear you. When I ask everybody, why do you want to pay your individual income taxes in this country, you say what? It's the price we pay for a civilized society, Mike. Mike, if we didn't pay our taxes, who would build the roads and the bridges? It's for the military, Mike. Well, a million of it's going to be peeled off for Nancy Pelosi. And I got to tell you, I don't think when tax receipts come in, they don't designate them as Republican and Democrat tax dollars. Some Republicans' dollars will be taken, and you'll be giving Nancy Pelosi a $1 million bonus for job well done. Auditors calculated that Speaker Nancy Pelosi earned $5.7 million in salary to date during her 34-year congressional career. Pelosi's salary ranged from $77,000 in 1987 to today's $223,500 as the most highly compensated members of Congress. Taxpayers also invested $282,965 into Pelosi's federal thrift savings plan, an amount that equals 5% of salary as long as members also contribute 5% of their earnings. They get a match from the taxpayer. You got to laugh. I mean, come on. We are the biggest suckers in the world, right? I mean, I know other countries probably do this. You know, I mean, I guess that maybe we're not the biggest suckers, but we're suckers. I mean, you know, some countries, the guys just move into the government. They take over a government. They just start stealing everything. And, you know, if an oil company in their country sells, you know, they get 10% of all oil sales so that they don't jail. You know, I mean, in true dictatorships, third world banana republics. But we're pretty darn close, aren't we? Every time Nancy Pelosi sets aside 5% of her money, you step up and match it. This group, this Open the Books, they estimate that those taxpayer dollars grew to $1.03 million if it was invested in an S&P index fund. Let's see what else. On top of this, if Pelosi retired after the November elections, they pegged her pension and an annuity package at $153,967 annually, taxpayer funded. What was the other? Let's get down to our buddy Mitch McConnell. I'm a bipartisan. I don't have a party, people. I'm a party guy socially, but I'm not a party guy politically. Senate leader Mitch McConnell, net worth estimated around $22 million during his 36 years of public service in Congress. Auditors calculated that McConnell earned $5.5 million in salary. His salary did the same thing as Pelosi's, starting at $75,000 and bumping all the way up to $193,000 now. Taxpayers also invested $273,700 into Mitch McConnell's federal thrift savings plan. This estimates that the taxpayer dollars grew to $1.1 million. For Mitch McConnell in retirement, McConnell can cash out the estimated $1.1 million as a one-time lump sum courtesy of the United States taxpayer. Can I do a Mitch McConnell voice to thank you? Well, thank you. I'm so terrible at voices. I think I could add a lot to the show if I could learn to do voices. Anyway, Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, they thank you. Again, it's just like the corporations that are receiving the massive bailouts. I thank the fetuses and the yet unborn a couple of days ago. I want to thank the taxpayers that may see these two creatures actually retire at some point, and they will walk away with these big fat stacks of taxpayer cash. You don't get the credit that you deserve. And to all of you Trump fans and Republicans out there, congratulations on helping support Nancy Pelosi for all of her adult life and into retirement. And to all you Democrats out there, Mitch McConnell gives you a big fat thank you as well for supporting his lavish lifestyle. It truly is remarkable and generous of you all.
If you are considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Only a few minutes left in the hour. I'm going to sail into the sunset today. I was looking a little bit more at congressional benefits when they retire during the break, see what they get. Apparently, they have to pay a small percentage of premiums, but I think they get a health plan still. There's a couple of statistics in this. This is from Investopedia. And just a little kind of illustrative of the fact, Jimmy Carter, to his credit, said that we no longer have a, he might have said democracy. We don't want a democracy. We want a constitutional republic. But he said basically what we've got now is an oligarchy. And it's just true. It is. And what's stunning to me is a lot of people understand this, both on the right and the left, but nobody does a darn thing about it. Nobody cares. I mean, you know, we're so distracted by everything else that we can't stop 535 really not very sharp people from basically looting the treasury and living off the taxpayer dole. We can't stop supporting. There's 330 million of us. There's 535 of them, and we can't seem to rally around. Hey, these guys, let's look at now. I don't know. This is a little bit of a twisted statistic, but I think it's important to know. The median net worth for members of Congress is passed over $1 million in 2013. This compares to the average American household median net worth of less than $60,000. You know, now there's ways to parse that. Well, it's, you know, successful people go to Washington, D.C., and, you know, but I think more that what the mentality of a lot of Americans is, well, these are, you know, our leaders. These are the kind of can-do, really accomplished people. They're not. They're people who've learned to work the system by and large. I got no problems with somebody. You know, if you go out and you create a business or you do really well as a doctor or a lawyer or something, you want to go up there and you want to make. I mean, I'd like to go to Congress if for nothing else than to just show absolute disrespect for everybody up there. Well, 99% of the people up there, and to block everything. It would be kind of one of my dreams to go and be the least popular guy in Washington, D.C. Now, everyone thinks that's Donald Trump. But I got to tell you, Washington's getting its way on a whole lot of stuff. Defense spending, troops are still where they are. The banks are still making a ton of money. You got an Eli Lilly executive running Health and Human Service. I mean, a lot of the stuff is still going on like it was going. I'd love to just go up there and be a squeaky wheel. If you don't notice, doing this radio show, I don't try to make a whole lot of friends, I don't guess. I mean, I'd like people to listen to me. Got some very nice emails just yesterday from listeners, and I like that. But, you know, my goal is to not to get invited to a Republican cocktail party where, you know, I could probably get in on the game if I carry water here on the air. Other stations do that, trust me. That's why I refer to a lot of the stations around here as WGOP. I could get into that little nest of people and be one of the, and I could have an endless stream of Republican politicians come here and sit across the desk from me and tell us how great they are and tell us how bad the Democrats are. I mean, I could play that game. I just have no desire to do it. I think I could stick to that. I think I could be one of the, you know, but how many people say, oh, I could go to Washington, D.C. and make a difference? they wouldn't corrupt me. I wonder how many people have gone up there and have been absorbed into the blob, just been overwhelmed by it. I'd like to say I would resist it, and if I just couldn't do any good, I would just quit because I don't care, and I think Washington, D.C. is gross to me, but who knows? I bet you Washington, D.C. has corrupted far better people than Mike Madison, so maybe they would just absorb me into the blob, and yeah, I'd be unrecognizable in two terms. I'd justify every flip-flop I ever did to explain to you why I'm such a genius for flip-flipping and flopping and how it needed to be done. And it's what we see from all these people. Anyway, it is really quite amazing, the game that's being run on everybody. And I don't know, the stuff like this I enjoy covering. You can tell I got a smile on my face. I laugh at it. It's aggravating. But it's to the point where I'm just laughing at the whole system because I'm this outsider watching it. And I got to be honest, I'm looking at these two parties screaming at each other on Twitter. And I'm just saying, what are you nut jobs doing? Do you not realize the game that is being run on all of you as they pick your pockets? And as you've got a vaccine czar who doesn't have to disclose his financial interest in the whole industry that he is currently sitting as god of. He is going to get to pick the winners and the losers. He's going to get to direct huge buckets of taxpayer dollars to different vaccine makers. And he can invest in any of them he wants to because he's not subject to any ethics rules. I mean, I choose to think it's funny at this point. Because nobody's going to do anything about it. Everybody grumbles about it. I don't know how many people I've heard say, fire them all, term limit them. And then when an election comes up, what do you do? You vote for the incumbent, don't you? Here in Mississippi, you do. Greg Harper had to quit for him to get out of office. Nobody was going to vote him out of office. He quit. Where is Greg Harper now? I bet he's not a greeter at Walmart. I bet he's not bussing tables anywhere. I think I just got a topic for a future show. All right, I got to go. I'll see you tomorrow. Good luck out there. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.